This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Friday, November 12th, week 10 in the National Football League. Michael Beller here with you. We're going to talk you through the remainder of the week 10 slate from a gambling perspective. To do that, I've got my two trusty co-hosts. You're here every single Friday with us. First, Zach Jackson. Zach, what's going on?
November 12th, my brother's birthday. He can't pick a winner either.
Hey, you picked a couple of winners last week, a two and three week.
Yeah. I did. I stood on the table here in the podcast, and I said take Arizona, and then the Colt McCoy news became official on Sunday morning, and I bet the Niners. But here for the podcast, I was a winner.
Hey, that's a winner. We're still counting that, of course, as a winner. And hey, how are you supposed to know that James Conner was about to throw things back to 2018, right?
Wow. More like 2014, right?
I mean, I have a horrible last-second fantasy benching of James Conner story a week ago, but no one cares about that, least of all me. Also doesn't care about it. Vic Tafer also with us here. Vic, what's going on?
Not much, man. I still stink, so that's that's what's new here.
I guess it's not new, actually, right?
That's true. Not new. You're right. Not new.
We're going to be honest with you guys. We appreciate you sticking with us and listening to us here. It has not been the greatest season for us on the Friday edition of the Athletic Fantasy Football Pod. Zach had a 2-3 week a week ago. Vic at 1-4. I was at 3-2. Collectively, under 500 for the week, under 500 for the season. And unfortunately, all three of us individually under 500. I will say that Zach at 19-20, you're a 4-1 week away from being profitable. So, right. You know, that's something we can hang our hat on a little bit. We still have time to get profitable, all three of us, and the show collectively for the season. So I think we can start that this week, you guys.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's jump right in. We have a lot of crossover picks, so we're going to let those lead into one another. We're going to start with one where you guys are sharing not the pick, but a pick from the same game, and it is a game that Vic will be at. One of the games of the week, Sunday Night Football, Raiders and Chiefs. The Raiders at home are 2.5-point underdogs on BetMGM. The over-under on this one is 52. Neither of you are going with that straight-up line of 2.5. Vic, we're going to go to you first on this one. Just tell us what you're expecting from the Raiders in this one. Obviously, a big game for both teams. And then what your pick is as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to play well. I think last week was a little hiccup. I think Derek Carr had his worst game of the year, but I think he should be fine going forward. The Chiefs defense obviously has a lot of issues, and I think one of the big things from last weekend was Josh Jacobs looked really good, looked definitely the best he's looked this year, which I think the O-line is getting a little better, so their offense should be good. I think defensively, I think Ngakoue and Crosby will give Mahomes a lot of problems. So I look at this game, and I might be biased because I watch the Raiders every week, but I think they're the better team. I think that people keep waiting for the Chiefs to bounce back, and I'm not sure it's going to happen. So I think you get a chance to get the best team on both sides of the ball playing at home. So I'm taking the money line. I'm not going to dabble any juice or any points. Give me the money line plus 115. And I'll take that as my first winner of the day.
Yeah, a lot of history here, right? And a lot at stake. These teams know one another. They score when they get together. Mm-hmm. Even before this Chiefs defense completely fell apart, you look at the last few years, the Raiders have scored on them. I always think in a big spot where both teams have a level of desperation and both teams have veteran quarterbacks and both teams have very good quarterbacks here, I always lean towards the over, right? I think they're going to get touchdowns. I think they're going to create big plays and even kitchen sink it to an extent. So I look for a little bit of bounce back from Mahomes and the Chiefs. I kind of like Vic's thinking that the home team can win this game, maybe will win this game, but either way, I think it gets over 52. I like the Raiders to score 31 themselves. So we'll see what the Chiefs do on their end, but I think it's a close game, and I think it flies over 52.
Yeah, that would be the way I would go if I was going to bet this game at all. It would probably be with the total. I don't want to mess around. I still am uncomfortable taking anyone to beat the Chiefs, even though that seems silly, and uncomfortable with them laying just 2.5 in this game. So I like staying away from the game itself. The total feels very gettable too at that 52 mark. So that's what we've got here for the over under, and I like that play, Zach. I'm going to go to a different game for my first pick. It's another one of the good games of the week, and you know, we are very accustomed to seeing the Packers and Seahawks play one another in the regular season, whether it's both of them winning their division so they cross over the next year, or just an NFC North, NFC West season. It feels like these two teams play one another almost every single season, and it always seems like something goes down in these games, whether it's the NFC Championship game, whether it's the touchdown, touchback, interception game with the replacement refs. It's just always something going on with the Packers and the Seahawks, and this week it is Russell Wilson definitely returning, and I think you guys, Aaron Rodgers returning as well, and that is why I am backing the Packers. I'm not going to try to get into the X's and O's of this. I just, can either of you guys tell me if this chance, would there be any chance at all that the Packers are 3.5-point favorites if the odds makers are not assuming Aaron Rodgers is back? I just don't see, there's no way. There's no way. Not with the way they played last week, not with what we saw from Jordan Love. The Seahawks are almost certainly favored with Russell Wilson coming back. Maybe it's a pick'em, something like that. There's no way the Packers are laying the relatively standard 3.5 if we're not assuming that Aaron Rodgers is back. So if we're going to draw that conclusion, then I am also comfortable just jumping back on the Packers. Definitely the better team. We have an injury expert who writes for us on the fantasy side of things. Her name's Virginia Zakis, Inside Injuries. Great stuff over there. And when Russ first suffered the injury, she called it something like a 6 to 8 week injury, and that there could be some real, you know, muscle issues with that finger and him being able to grip the ball correctly. And then if he can't grip it, how well can he throw it? He came back way earlier than that timetable, and I wouldn't be surprised to see there be a little bit of rust akin to what we saw from Dak Prescott in the Cowboys offense last week against the Broncos. We got a fully healthy, fully ready to go Green Bay team, almost certainly, and then a Seattle team that is still maybe not quite back to 100% with Russell Wilson. Really like the Packers in this spot. I reserve the right to change this if suddenly we hear Jordan Love is starting. but assuming we got Aaron Rodgers in there, I like the Packers quite a bit, laying 3.5 points. Our next set of picks, you guys, is one where we don't have like anything that's gonna actually never mind that's not true, so I'll just go right into our next set of picks. Vic, we're gonna go to you first. We have an AFC South clash, Colts and Jaguars. The Colts 10.5-point favorites at home. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, the Colts took care of business last week. They run the ball really well. I think they'll have a good game plan to handle bad teams, to kind of bully them a little bit, if you will. So I think they're in a good spot this week to win again pretty comfortably.
This is the Jaguars team that obviously has been really in dire straits all season long. And they've had a few flashes here and there. Last week was a nice win, obviously. It felt very anomalous that they held the Bills to 6 points. That offense looked dreadful. Once again, the Colts definitely seem to have turned a corner here. So another spot for the Colts to just keep amassing wins and building things up in what could be a very tight AFC wild card race. And that's where Zach and I find our next pick. It's in the same game, and it's in the game that Zach is covering this weekend. Browns and Patriots. Patriots are 2-point favorites in this one, and the total on this game is 45. Zach, you take your pick first here. What do you expect from this game, and then what is your play also?
Yeah, you know, it's a little hard to know what to expect, right? The Browns off that big win, and it feels like that they're turning the corner. It feels like their defense has taken a big leap, which they were always looking at. But Nick Chubb is on the COVID list, one of 5 players on the COVID list. We will see. He's technically eligible to return if he can pass the test, but Michael, I don't think any player in that spot has done that in the time window to get back. So you lose a lot when you lose Nick Chubb. He's just a super talented guy and means so much to this offense. But the key to me is the Browns defense has turned a corner. They're playing against a rookie quarterback here. And I think both teams will be conservative with their game plan. I just think Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, JOK is supposed to be back. John Johnson and Denzel Ward are playing, you know, really well right now. I don't see the Patriots getting over 20. I'm not sure they get to 20. So I'm a little not bothered. I'm a little concerned that the odds makers have kept the Patriots the favorites in this game. But when I see the team total of 23.5 and I see how the Browns defense is playing, pick of the week, under 23.5 team total Patriots.
Hey, guess what? This is my pick of the week, too, and it's Browns plus two. They're the better team. They're just flat out simply the better team. Everything you said about the defense is really what's leading me here to the Browns. This fully healthy defense, arguably the best in the NFL, certainly in the top three in the NFL. They can make life hell on Mac Jones with the way that they can get after the quarterback. We still have a Patriots team. We've been talking about this really for 3 years now. This is the third season, guys. Go back to that last year of Tom Brady in New England, and we were talking about that they just have no speed, no athleticism out wide to challenge defenses. We saw that in the playoff loss, Tom Brady's last game as a Patriot, to the Titans a couple of years ago. Last year, same exact issue. This year, it's the same issue. They just have nothing that's going to threaten a defense, nothing that a defense has to respect in terms of speed and athleticism, and that is not a formula you want to bring into a game against this Browns defense. I think they can just let it fly, get after Mac Jones, maybe no Damian Harris, maybe no Ramondre Stevenson. We're focused on the Browns running back issues, but we've also seen the Browns be able to say, all right, Nick Chubb out, D'Ernest Johnson in, and do pretty darn well. Obviously, it's not the same dimension that they have when Nick Chubb is healthy, but it's still a pretty damn good dimension. We saw it a couple of weeks ago against the Broncos with D'Ernest Johnson running for nearly 150 yards in that win. I think the Browns are in a good spot to be able to replicate what they want to do when they're at full strength, and the Patriots, they just simply aren't in that spot. Really like the Browns here. And Zach, I hear what you're saying on the Patriots still being stuck at as 2-point favorites, but this has been right there. It's been anywhere between 1.5 and 2.5 all week long on BetMGM. And if it's not going to cross a field goal, this feels to me like a situation where odd makers are sort of courting money on the Patriots. Like, they want people to be like, all right, Patriots at home, buy a field goal. We want to be able to take that money, and the Browns are going to be able to maybe help out me, help out the books. I like this sitting at plus two. It makes me feel like there's something at play here where the books are almost making a bet themselves on the Browns.
I kind of read it the other way. I just can't believe that the Browns aren't favored in this spot against a rookie quarterback. When you look at the Patriots' body of work, I mean, who have they beaten? Terrible teams, yeah. Other
except
bad,
for the
struggling
Chargers.
Rookie quarterbacks, right? Except for the Chargers win,
yeah.
And the Browns just played their best four quarters of the season. So, and this line was set before the Nick Chubb news. Not that any running back would shift it that much, but if there are a couple that are, it's the Derrick Henrys and Nick Chubbs of the world, right? I mean, Chubb just does so much for this offense. So we'll see. I definitely wasn't taking a side, though, but I feel strongly in my Patriots under team total.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, guys, third pick coming up for each of us. Vic, you and I are on opposite sides of Broncos and Eagles. I will be a gentleman and let you take your side first, and then I'll come and tell you why you're wrong. So what do you got in Broncos-Eagles? Broncos 3-point favorites at home.
Well, I'm sure I am wrong based on the season, but I have faith in my guy, Vic Fangio, my guy again. But I think, you know, they have a good formula. They run the ball well. They got two running backs. Defense is a little underrated. I think it's a good spot coming off a nice win for their morale at home. I think the Eagles are still overrated. They're 3-6. Somehow people still think they're good. So I think it's a good number. I like the Broncos to cover this one pretty easily.
This is another one where I am going to do something that's probably stupid and just play the why is the line set like this game. And you know, the Broncos are coming off a game where they looked awesome against the Cowboys. They go into Dallas. They dominate that game from start to finish. 30-16 does not at all get across just how much better the Broncos were in that game. That was 30-0 at one point. A couple of garbage touchdowns for the Cowboys that meant absolutely nothing. So you're coming off a win like that. You're going back home. You're playing an Eagles team that, frankly, isn't very good. And you're only 3-point favorites. You were actually less than a field goal. And then what puts it over the top for me is the fact that the Eagles plus 3 is minus 120. And the Broncos minus 3 is plus 100. Like, this feels like a spot where, again, I feel like books are courting Broncos money. They're telling bettors, like, yeah, go ahead, take your field goal. All you got to do is win by more than a field goal, and you're going to get plus money for it. And you're going to get even money on that bet if you just get the Broncos, who just beat the Cowboys. Don't forget about that, bettors. They just beat the Cowboys. Now you're getting a bet home, plus 100. All you got to do is win by more than a field goal. You know you want to make this bet. I just look at that, and it makes me very scared. It makes me very suspicious. And that is the entirety of the reason why I'm picking the Eagles here, because I agree the Broncos are the better team.
I'd argue that the Eagles spreads have been weird all year long, though. Like, I think the bookmakers, I don't know what their fascination is with Jalen Hurts, but I think the numbers have been kind of weird all season long. But maybe you're right. Maybe this is the time the trap finally comes true and my neck is snapped again. But we'll see.
Indeed, we will. Again, that's just – it's usually we get into trouble when we try to get in the heads of the odds makers. But this one just feels very silly to me in a way that I want to back the Eagles and make what I think is the same bet that the bookmakers are making in this game. We've got a Buccaneers and Washington game this week where the Bucs are 9.5-point favorites. Zach, for your third pick, you've got a player prop that you like in this one.
Yeah, J.D. McKissic, the third down back, or just kind of the guy that gets a lot of passes. I mean, teams don't run on the Buccaneers. You can't run on the Buccaneers. Curtis Samuel is out. Washington really struggling offensively. I just think the volume here for McKissic is rather obvious, and I think the ceiling is very high. So, as we record this 60, 70 hours out, I didn't see an exact number on two sites, but I mean, his receptions over, 4.5, 5.5, his yards over up to 50, I think, is good. And that's just, as I went through this card, especially looking at last week's carnage, this is one that I feel good about because I just think the opportunities are going to be there for in how they play offense and how the Bucs play defense say that there's a good chance that I'm right.
You've also got Antonio Gibson, who's dealing with a stress fracture in his shin, and there was some talk about him being a bigger part of their passing game early in the season. We saw it a tiny bit, but we haven't seen him involved at all since he suffered this injury, and so it really has been the J.D. McKissic show as a receiver. We've seen a little bit of Jarrett Patterson mixing in over the last few weeks, but that's been purely as a runner, and when you talk about a team that doesn't have Curtis Samuel, maybe still won't have Logan Thomas this week. We're unsure on that as of Thursday afternoon, but that could be a situation where he's out for one more week as he makes his return from IR. Should be a big, big day again for J.D. McKissic. I like this play, and I think you're probably in that right range. Probably 4.5 catches, 45.5, maybe a few, a little bit less than that. Look at DeAndre Swift, for example, 39.5 receiving yards of his prop. I think it's fair to expect J.D. McKissic to be somewhere in that range as well. Vic, you've got a play on a side in Buccaneers and Washington. What do you got here?
Yeah, similar thinking to Zach. I think, Washington won't be able to run the ball. I think Taylor Heinicke stinks. I think Tom Brady's coming off a loss and a bye, a double whammy. So he's had an extra time to prepare and get all fired up and angry. But I just think they're going to be scoring at will. Washington defense not been very good this year. I think it's a blowout. So I'll take the points. The Bucs are, I think, -9.5. I'm all over that.
Vic, let me come back to you with a quick follow-up question. Almost certainly no Antonio Brown. Almost certainly no Rob Gronkowski. Maybe no Chris Godwin. That doesn't change your thinking at all?
No, that's why the guy's name is Tyler Johnson. They still got Tyler Johnson. So Tyler Johnson.
Brashad Perriman back from Tampa.
Oh, man, they got so much. But I got Cameron Bray on a big day, so they should be. I'm not really worried about that at all. I think they'll throw the ball to running backs a little bit also. So I just think Tom Brady kind of wheels this one to an easy win.
Yeah, I hate narrative street stuff like this, but maybe Tom Brady's had it in the back of his mind that he's been annoyed since last January when Washington and Taylor Heinicke sort of gave the Bucs a run for their money. I mean, that was that in the Saints game. Those first two playoff games that the Bucs played last year were the tightest games. They cruised, or I guess the Packers game as well. It was the Super Bowl that was really the one where they cruised. But either way, Washington gave them a little bit more of a fight than anyone was expecting, and that was sort of the Taylor Heinicke coming out party. So maybe Brady feels like the sort of guy who could have that in the back of his mind going into this game, no matter who he has at his disposal. Zach, our fourth pick, a piece, comes from the same game. I'm going to go first. It is Cardinals and Panthers. I'm going to go with the total in this one. The line is Cardinals minus 10.5. The total is 44.5. And this is, once again, I'm just realizing now that I'm like really making a lot of suppositions in almost all my picks. The Packers, I'm assuming Rodgers is back. I'm trying to play the odds makers with the Eagles. And now here I am again making a supposition that we're getting Kyler Murray back. Here's why I am making that supposition. 10.5 point spread, 44.5 total. That gives the Cardinals an implied team total of 27.25 points. I don't care what Colt McCoy in this offense did last week, scoring 31 points against San Francisco. There is no way odds makers are installing the Cardinals with an implied total north of 27 if they don't think Kyler Murray's coming back. And if Kyler Murray's coming back, this team's going to score more than that many points. I mean, he plays in that style of game. The last time we had a Cardinals total with Kyler Murray starting less than 45 points was week 13 of the 2019 season. This is just a guy who creates a ton of points for himself and forces the other team to try to keep up with a brisk pace of football. They play in high-scoring games. They're built to win high-scoring games. And if Kyler's back, which this line definitely suggests he will be, I think this game goes over the 44.5 relatively comfortably, even with P.J. Walker getting the start for Carolina. So that's where I am on the total. Or Zach, give us where you're at on the side.
Yeah, so not knowing the injury situation, they were still awesome last week, right? Carolina has flat-out stunk. They started 3-0, and they've arguably been as bad as anybody ever since. Well, when you lose Sam Darnold, you don't get any worse. He's been a turnover machine. The offense hit a wall. So you bring in P.J. Walker, and for as poorly as they've played, for as bad as they've been in almost every phase, right, they're alive in the playoff race. They're totally dismissed by everybody outside their building. I'm just seeing this as double digits, and I'm taking it. I just think the Cardinals were over their heads last week, a team they obviously knew well, and everybody had every reason to doubt them. I just think the Panthers somehow clunk their way to losing this by a touchdown or by 8. 10.5 jumped off the page to me, and I put the check mark on it right away.
The NFC is fascinating to me, you guys. We've got these five awesome teams. You've got a ridiculous race in the NFC West where one team is going to get at the very least a bye, at the very least a home game, at the most the one bye in the NFC and home field advantage. And then the other team is going to go on the road the first week of the playoffs to play like the Cowboys or the Packers or someone. It's just super fascinating. And then, as you say, Zach, we're going to have like the Panthers or the Falcons or the Vikings. Like, one of those teams is going to be in the playoffs. This NFC is going to be, I think, really fascinating to watch over the next 7-8 weeks of the season. One pick left a piece. Vic and I are sharing a pick to make this final. I will kick us off, Vic, and then you can take it home. Why we like the Rams minus 4 at the 49ers. Classic bounce back spot. I mean, this has just bounce back spot written all over it. I will say I would feel a little bit more comfortable if we were talking about Rams minus like 5.5 or 6. The 4 makes me raise an eyebrow a little bit. But I've done enough of trying to get inside the oddsmakers' heads for this show, and I'll just say that this is one that you don't want to overthink. The Rams coming off a total clunker of a game, a real clunker of a game from Matthew Stafford, just some bizarre decisions that we haven't seen from him during his time with the Rams. Titans were able to create a lot of havoc. That just doesn't feel like the sort of defense the 49ers have any longer. That seat under Kyle Shanahan getting awfully, awfully hot. And the Rams, clearly the better team, feels like a spot where they bounce back. That's where I like the Rams minus 4.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think one of the biggest takeaways from this game has been that somehow the Rams' physicality was kind of coming into question. Like, they're not physical enough up front, and they were, overpowered by the Titans. But really, like you mentioned, those two, Matt Stafford gave him 14 points at the start of the game. So and the
boom,
whole,
boom, yeah.
They outgained, I think, almost 2-1 yards, the Rams over the Titans. So in no way did I think that loss was as bad as people make it seem to be, like, in terms of the whole defense is now soft and O-line soft. I just think this is a great, not only a bounce back in terms of winning and losing, but also just in terms of reestablishing your identity. I think the 49ers, coming off a terrible, terrible loss last week, I'm sure they can't be at all looking forward to the rest of the season. So I think it's a good spot both ways. I think the Rams win this one and show their physicality is still decent.
As you said, team that beat the Rams last week, the Tennessee Titans, now the number one seed as of today in the AFC. And our final pick of the show comes from Zach. It involves the Titans. Titans 3-point favorites at home against the Saints. The total, 44.5. What's your play for this one, Zach?
So this is how I finish 5-0, right?
Yes,
absolutely. Vic just said it. The Titans did it with defense last week. They struggled to get a yard, but they turned in their turnovers, and their defense has played way better than anyone's thought. Well, here come the Saints. Third string quarterback, maybe Taysom Hill. Kamara's all banged up. Hangover City for the Titans. I just think this is an ugly game. I think both coaches plan for it to be ugly, carry out those game plans accordingly. The Saints have an excellent defense. I'm not sure where they're going to generate offense. The Titans didn't generate offense last week in their first game without Derrick Henry. I see a lot of punts. I see a lot of runs, and I see strategic decisions leading to the first team trying to get to 20. I see as, 20-16, 19-16 type game here, comfortably under 44.5.
I would say the odds makers were also unimpressed with that Tennessee win a week ago. A win's a win, push them to 7-2, almost certainly going to win the AFC South. The fact that they're 3-point favorites at home against a Saints team that just got beat by the Falcons at home and is going to be starting either Taysom Hill or Trevor Siemian tells you that maybe the odds makers aren't ready to buy this Derrick Henry-less Tennessee Titans team. I think the only play you could possibly make in this game is exactly the one that you're making here, Zach, under 44.5. That's going to do it for us on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. And this is the one, guys. I say it every week, mostly just because eventually it has to be right, right? And eventually, we're smart enough. We sort of know what we're talking about. 15 picks between the three of us. I feel like one of these days we're hitting a 10-5 or an 11-4. And this, I think this is the one right here. Hopefully you are riding with us and think this is the one as well. For Zach Jackson and Vic Tafer, I'm Michael Beller. Thanks for being with us. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, happy betting.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.